This is Pastor Ron Laney from Pleasant Grove Church. Thank you so much for taking the time to tune in to us today, and I hope that this message is a great encouragement and a blessing to your life. Here is some good news from the Grove. Calling this series, Pray Like Jesus. Today we're going to talk about in secret and in faith. Much of the teaching on prayer, including the Lord's Prayer, were all gifted to us in response to this request that comes from Luke's gospel. One of the disciples asked Jesus, they say this, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. Right away they felt their deficiency of prayer. And who doesn't? We know we need to pray more. We know we need to pray better. We know we need to think better along those terms. We need a stronger relationship with God. So everybody's in the same boat on that, including myself. We know we need to do better. So this is not about condemnation. It's not about just more, more, more. This is really about us learning, just responding to what Jesus teaches us about prayer. Now, it's interesting to me what they didn't ask Jesus. They asked him, say, Lord, teach us to pray. Now, they didn't ask him, Lord, teach us to teach like you. And he was a fabulous teacher. Still is. His teachings are amazing. Jesus can say something in one or two sentences, and you'll spend the rest of your life trying to figure it out and live it out. He's an amazing teacher. But they didn't say, Lord, teach us to teach. They didn't say, Lord, teach us to heal. Although they saw plenty of miracles, and they've seen him heal the lame, heal the blind, heal all kinds of sickness and diseases among the people, leprosy and all that kind of stuff. They've seen him heal. But isn't it interesting? They didn't say, Lord, will you take us to class and show us A, B, C and how to get to D in healing? Isn't that interesting? They didn't say, teach us to heal. They didn't say, teach us to do miracles. Although they saw him multiply the bread. They've seen him walk on water. They've seen him do all kinds of miraculous things that would absolutely blow anybody's mind if they witnessed it. They did not ask, Lord, teach us to do miracles. But they did ask, Lord, teach us to pray. How about that? Here, this is what I believe. I believe that they understood that Jesus' personal relationship with God was the key to all the wonderful things he did in public. They knew that there was a direct link in private to everything that Jesus did in public. They knew that Jesus' effectiveness was directly related to his personal connection with Heavenly Father. They knew that. So they knew that if they could pray like Jesus, they may could live like Jesus, and they may could minister like Jesus, and that was the connection. They were pretty smart to even ask that much. Psalm 103, verse 7 says this. He, God, made known his ways to Moses and his acts to the children of Israel. Now, when I see that, I see the children of Israel knew the acts of God. They knew the miraculous deeds. They knew about the bread. They knew about the cloud. They knew about the fire. They knew about all the sacrifice. They knew all the acts of God, the things God did, the visible things that they could see manifest in front of them. They knew about the acts of God. Everybody can see that. But Moses was different. Moses not only witnessed the acts of God and had some of those acts even come through him. Moses knew the ways of God. That's a different level there. That's a different kind of relationship. Everybody can see the miracle and see the healing, see the changed life. But does anybody want to know the ways? The ways of God. That's why Moses was who he was. He knew the ways of God. And what Jesus is going to teach us is some of his ways, the kingdom ways. And remember this, Jesus is the way. Remember that, John 14, 6? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Right? He's the way. You think about that. We think about he's the way to heaven, and that's true. He's the way to the Father. He says that very plainly. But you realize that Jesus is the way to live. And I'm not just talking about professing faith in him. That's important. That's huge in our lives. But I'm talking about, do you realize that Jesus is actually the way to live? He shows us the way to live. That's what he's going to teach us about prayer. He's going to teach us some of the way to pray. Now, what I'm about to read to you begins in Matthew chapter 6, verse number 5. If you see your Bible there, if you've got a red letter edition, you'll see this all in red. And for us, what does that mean? It means that those are the very words of Jesus, right? And when Jesus is speaking, you've got to understand that heaven is talking to us, that God himself is talking to us. So we stand up and we listen. We concentrate even a little bit more when we see his words because they're important. Heaven is talking to us. And Jesus is the one who's come from heaven to earth to bring the ways of the kingdom to us. That's what he's done. And Jesus he's trying to draw us, even his people. He's trying to draw us out of the ways of the kingdom of darkness. Because too many of us live like the old life, even among God's people. He's drawing us out of the kingdom of darkness and out of the ways of the kingdom of darkness into the ways of the kingdom of light, the kingdom of his Father. And Jesus is bringing the kingdom near to us. He told us that's why he came. Remember his favorite message. If Jesus could come in here today and preach to us, there's a really good chance that his message would be this, because he preached it everywhere he went. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's what he would tell us. Because Jesus is the kingdom bringer. When he teaches, when he shows up, he brings the kingdom of God, the power of God, the action of God with him. And Jesus came so that you and I could have the kingdom of God near to us. So what Jesus does in our lives, he brings God near to us, which is enabling us to draw near to God. So when you hear him, listen up. It's God talking to us. All right, let's hear what he's got to say. Matthew 6, 5 through 8. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites. For they love to pray standing in the synagogue and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room. Some translations say your closet. That's where we get the idea of a prayer closet. And when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. Come on, let's ask him to help us. Lord, thank you for your words. Thank you for bringing heaven near. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to draw near to you. Teach us, Lord, what it is to pray. I pray you'd help us. Help us in the days ahead to be more effective. Our world needs to see your kingdom in action. Help us to be that people. Teach us to pray like you, Lord, so that we can live like you. In your name we pray. All God's people said amen. Amen. So the first thing, he gets to a couple don'ts. Don't do it like this. The first thing he says is don't pray like a hypocrite. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners, that they can be seen by people. So Jesus says, don't do it like that. Don't pray like a hypocrite. Don't put on a show when you're talking to God. It's a joke. You know, there are times when I'd be praying and Lily would come walking up and she said, "Daddy, what was that? I didn't hear you." I said, "That's okay. I wasn't talking to you." You know, that kind of thing. When we pray, we're not doing it for anybody's attention except for God. We're not to be the kind of people who put on a show and try to razzle dazzle people with how religious or eloquent that we think we may or may not be. He says, don't be like the hypocrites. Now, the word hypocrite has become a very negative word because of the way Jesus used it in the New Testament. But the word hypocrite literally means actor. It's a person who puts on an act. They play a particular role. So he says, when you come in to God's presence and start talking to him, or maybe in a group like this with God's people, don't put on a show for everybody. Don't become an actor. Don't play a particular role. Don't be a pretender. Don't be like that. Don't be like the hypocrites. And here's what Jesus says. He says, they pray. The motivation of why they pray and they do all the things they do and they inflict their voice in certain ways and do certain things and they have all these big words that they say. Jesus said, don't be like that. They're trying to impress men. They want people to walk away and say, you know, old Joe, that boy sure can pray. He said, don't worry about what people think. And if you want to be seen by men and they see you, then you have your reward. God cured me one time of this. I mean, it was a real comical and scary thing that happened. You know, they have these prayer events, you know, like National Day of Prayer. And sometimes they gather around the courthouse and do the thing. And they call the pastor and they have this pastor pray for this particular area. This other pray for this. And this particular day, I was to pray for our national leaders. There's a crowd there. There's several hundreds of people there around the county square. And we're there. They built this nice platform for us to stand on, a microphone and all that kind of stuff. And so I was sitting over there like most people would do, and I was trying to think about what I would say, you know. I didn't want to sound like an idiot, you know. I mean, that's happened before. I want to be real careful about what I said. So I got up there, and I was going to say, okay, this is what I was going to say. Never used this word ever, but I'd fallen into this trap. I was going to put on a show. I was going to get up there and I was going to say, oh, great God in heaven, we beseech you by the authority of Jesus. Sounds pretty good, don't it? We beseech you. You know, nobody uses that unless you're a preacher. We beseech you. Okay, I'm thinking about this. Oh, Lord, that's how I'm going to start it. And then I don't usually write my prayers down. I just let it kind of flow out of my heart most of the time. So I had that part memorized, and the rest of it was just going to be, let's go. So I got up there, and it's my turn. They called me up, Pastor Ron, will you come pray for our national leaders? I step up there, you know, and I look out across the crowd. And I lifted up my voice, and I said, oh, Lord, we impeach you. And I stopped. I was like, we beseech you in the name of Jesus. My associate pastor, when I got through, I come down there. He come down there, he said, boy, you know I love you. I love you to pieces. I'll do anything in the world for you. I'll take a bullet for you. But if you're going to impeach God, you on your own. I got home and I was just humiliated. And the Lord said, that'll teach you. Won't you act like Ron when you get up there and don't try to act like brother so-and-so. He taught me a valuable lesson. That's important. Talking to my father, I'm not talking to all of y'all. And if I start talking to all of y'all, I done missed the plot, hadn't I? I done lost it. All right, so he's got a way of humbling us, you know. So these actors, these hypocrites, these actors, you know what? Actors live for the applause of people. They live for popularity. They live for notoriety. They live for attention. And all that comes with it, all the fame and fortune and all the things that may come with it, or the claps or the good feelings and all that kind of stuff that come with it, that's what actors live for. And that's what he said, don't live for that. Don't have that motivation to be seen by people. So Jesus is dealing with our hearts again. He's got a way to do that. He's the great physician. And the reason he's the great physician is not just because he can heal the body. He can go in there and actually, he knows the thoughts and intents of a person's heart. And depending on what you've been thinking about, that'll make you shiver a little bit. He like Mama said, he can just go straight to the bone. Jesus is dealing with the motives of our heart when we pray. And it's important to God, not that we do the right thing, is that we do the right thing in the right way. So Jesus is after this. He's teaching us as his followers. He's saying, I want you to purify your motives. I want you to be free from the applause of people and all the opinions of people. And I want you to ask the Lord to help you with this so that you can be free from all of that junk. So it's when we live and when we pray, we don't live as people pleasers. We've got one on our mind. We should have one on our mind who we're seeking to please. And that's our Heavenly Father. We help people. We love people. But we're working towards the Father saying to us, well done. Good job. Thank you. You know, one day God's going to tell us, thank you. Thank you for doing what you did. He's going to thank us with rewards and all kinds of things that's going to come out of His mouth from us to His kids to us, from hearing from our Heavenly Father. He's going to reward us. He's going to thank you for your service. He's going to say, you did a good job. Of course, if you did a good job. That's what we're living for. We're living for the fact that God's going to tell us one day, good job. So don't live like the people pleaser. You know, there's a tragedy here that's wrapped in this whole idea of praying like a hypocrite. There's a tragedy here. The tragedy is that we as people, we really need God's help. We need His input. We need His wisdom. We need His direction. We need His answers. We need His grace and we need His mercy. We need His blessing. We can't live without His blessing. Life doesn't work without God's blessing. And the tragedy is that you would trade all of that blessing, you would trade it off for the recognition of people who most don't even care what you're doing. That's the tragedy of this. When we pray with the wrong focus, when we pray with the wrong motivation, when we pray to be religious or to thought well of by people, is that you may get their attention, but you lose God's attention. And beloved, with no disrespect, I don't care if you're here, but I've got to have Him here. I don't care if I get your attention, but I can't live without His attention. And David felt that distance sometimes get between him and God. And he would say, oh God, hear me when I pray. Hear me when I call out to you. And why was David so urgent by saying things like that and almost like pleading with God, saying, hear me. Why would he? Because he knew he couldn't live in the world that he lived in. He couldn't live without God's attention. He couldn't live without God's blessing. He couldn't live without God's touch. And that's one thing we find out in Genesis 1 and 2, that when God created man and woman, He put them in that garden and He blessed them. And right away on the very first page of the Bible, it teaches us that man was created to live with God's blessing. And without His blessing, life shrivels up. And it enters into that place called death. So don't pray like a hypocrite. And the remedy that Jesus gives us for praying like a hypocrite or an actor putting on a show, the remedy that He gives us to this people-pleasing spirit that gets on us sometimes. He says, this is the way I want you to pray. I want the lion's share of how you pray, the majority of the way you pray. Now, we pray in public from time to time. We pray together in corporate prayer meetings and things like that. There's nothing wrong with that. That's all good if it's done in the right way. But the remedy for all this hypocrisy that gets in people is to pray in secret. To get you a place, quiet place, shut the door, which means close everything else out, maybe close everybody else out, and be alone with God. That's the remedy to this. Jesus gives us the remedy. This is the cure for this hypocrisy right here. The cure is to go get you a quiet place, preferably. I couldn't pray in a closet. I know the old King James says pray in the closet. I can't pray in a closet. You put me in a confined space and I will go absolutely bonkers. You know where I like my quiet place? Outside. You put me outside and the heavens open up to me. No kidding. I do most of my study outside. In the shade, preferably. But I like it outside. But my secret place, Jesus seemed to have one of those secret places in Gethsemane. It was outside. The cure for our pride, the cure for our selfish ambitions in prayer is to do it alone. And Jesus is helping us so that we don't waste our efforts. And it's one thing to waste your efforts. I mean, that's bad enough because it's a lot of work sometimes. But what's even worse than wasting your efforts is wasting your life. Wasting your life living like this hypocrite, this actor's pretender. So pray in secret. No fanfare. No antics. No smoke machines. No lights. No cameras. No action. Just you and your Father. No pretense. Spend time with God. You and Him. In that secret place. You tracking with me? And He says this. He says that we need to pray in faith. Because, look, it says, go shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. Your Father who is in the secret place. Oh, what do you mean He's in the secret? He's waiting on me to get there. I like that. He can't wait to get, because he wants to talk to you. We got grown kids now. You know what? When they call us, the world stops. Because they don't ever call. Anybody know that? So we got a deal. When our kids call, if we're eating or whatever, we just kind of drop everything and we talk. Now, you know, that's mostly. We just drop everything and we talk to them because we're waiting on them to call. It's been 3-4 days, a month, a week. You know, sometimes it's like that. You know, especially when they're up to no good. Anyway, that's another story. You know. You go to the secret place, and He's already there waiting on you. That's awesome. And your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you openly. God stands ready to bless you. He stands ready to reward. So we're not just praying in secret. That's important. But we're also praying in faith. That God's with me. And God's going to bless me. And God's going to reward my relationship with Him. And even my requests. So when we're praying like this, like Jesus is teaching us now to pray. He said, don't pray like this now. Don't pray like the hypocrite. But do pray like this. Pray in faith. Believing that Father sees you. You know why He sees you? Well, He's right there with you. You can't see Him. But that's not what's important. What's important, you know He sees you. To know that Father sees you, that He hears you, that you have His attention, and God will reward you. Openly, it says. So what is the reward of prayer? Well, the basic answer would be answers. That if I make requests to Him, that He answers me. Yes, this is okay, it's good. No, don't go here, don't do this. Those are good answers. Sometimes He says, wait, which is my least favorite answer. I'm the guy that don't like waiting on the microwave. Anybody like that? I mean, that's bad. You know, that's bad. You don't have patience to wait on the microwave. You know. But God answers us. When we pray like this, when we pray with this kind of heart, He answers us. And the true reward of prayer is not really the answers. Those are great. I love it. But the true reward of prayer is the intimacy with God that you build along the way. That's the true reward. That's the real prize, is that you begin to build a relationship with your Heavenly Father that will carry you all the way through eternity. That's the reward. See, God is into reward, though. You know that? Look at this. Hebrews 11:6. That great faith chapter right there. 11:6 says this, but without faith it's impossible to please Him, please God. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. People say things like, well, I don't want nothing from God. Well, I do. I want a whole lot from Him. I need a whole lot from Him. I need His help. I need His blessing. I need His answer. I need His wisdom. I need His guide. I need it. I need Him. And part of our faith is believing that God is a rewarder. You get that? I mean, while we're here. Of course, when we get to heaven, He's going to pass those out too, whatever they look like. But that's part of our faith, believing that God rewards those who seek Him. I want to get in on that reward, don't you? Certainly do. And then Paul says this, remember who you're talking to. He puts this benediction on the back of his writing right here. He says in chapter 3, he says, now to Him, to God, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Not only that God will answer me, he answers better than what you expected. Huh. Thanks for the reminder. So don't pray like a hypocrite. Then the second thing Jesus talks about is another don't. Don't pray like a heathen. In fact, don't do anything like a heathen. That's just always a good rule of thumb. You know what I'm talking about? Mama would always tell us, quit acting like a heathen. Anybody's mama ever say that kind of stuff? Mama didn't mix no words. Don't pray like a heathen. So second on Jesus' list of don'ts is don't pray like a heathen. The word heathen, like a pagan or Gentile, they're people who don't know God, don't know the one true God. They've got a wrong understanding of God. And it's very tragic to see Christians begin, and even churches begin to adopt practices and things like that of these Eastern pagan religions and all the meditation that they bring into the church and yoga and all that kind of madness that they bring into the church. All that's from another God. We don't pray like heathens. Hopefully we're not acting like heathens. And he says, Don't use these vain repetitions. These vain repetitions. Now, what in the world is a vain repetition? Well, we know what repetition is. That means it's over and over. No. And a vain repetition would be kind of like something that you just chant. Or you just say over and over and over and over. A lot of pagans pray like that. These mantras that they've got and these chants and the pagans also believe that if they say the right words, if I say the magic words, you know, we get these things, people forward you on Facebook. I'm telling you right now, do not send me this mess. Do not send it to my Facebook page. Do not send me that mess. If you forward this to three people, God's going to bless you in the next 15 minutes. That's just junk. I'm sorry. Y'all with me? I know y'all. That's for all folks ain't here. That's for all the folks that's listening on the podcast. That's not for y'all, right? Because it's not about, see, it's a whole wrong concept. It's about if I say the right things or if I do the right things, these old magic words, then God's going to bless my life. It doesn't work that way. It's not knowing the right words. It's knowing the right Father. It's not what I say that's going to make the most difference in my life. It's who I know. It's always who you know. You know what I'm talking about? It's always who you know. It's like that in the business world. It's who you know. It's like that in the political world. It's who you know. Well, it's like that in the heavens too. It's who you know. And guess who I know? I know the one sitting on the throne, and I know the one sitting right beside him on his throne. That's pretty good connections. And I don't have to have any magic words. In fact, he probably would like for me not to say a whole lot. I kind of get myself in trouble with this thing a lot. You know, when you talk for a living, you get in trouble all the time. But that's another thing. There's no magic words. That's praying like a heathen. And eloquence. They think they'll be heard for their many words. Or they're putting them together just right, you know. Eloquence. While I'm preaching, you've heard me stumble a few times and maybe mix some words wrong or maybe use some bad English. I'm sorry for all my English majors and English teachers that are here. I apologize in advance for the next 10 years. I apologize because I will offend you because my eloquence is not so eloquent. But when I'm praying, it's not about all that. See, that day I was there at the courthouse, I was trying to be eloquent. Now, here's where the stupidity really sets in real heavy right here. Am I going to really impress God with what I got to say? I mean, we're talking about the God who speaks suns and moons and stars out of his mouth and stretches out the heavens and rules all the ecosystems and all the kind of things and has created the universe. Do you think you can put together three sentences and he'll say, "Wow, that's pretty awesome"? Really? You know what I'm talking about. So it's not about none of this. See, that's you're acting like a heathen like that now. And heathens believe if they pray long enough, they pray hard enough, the gods will show up and have favor on us. My mind goes back to Elijah. Remember Elijah the prophet on Mount Carmel? The 450 prophets of Baal? We're not going to read that scripture, but you can look up 1 Kings 18, 25 through 29. Remember that? Elijah said, hey, whichever God answers by fire, He'll be God. So y'all build your thing up and do your thing over there, but don't put any fire under it. We're going to let the fire fall out of heaven. Whichever God answers, that one's God. So Elijah goes over and kicks back on his lawn chair and just watches the heathen show. He watches them. And they're crying out to their God. They're dancing around. They done tore off some of their clothes. They're dancing around. They got the music beating and they're going all kind of crazy. And they begin to chant. And they begin to holler. Do it for a while. Nothing happened. Elijah's kicked back in his lawn chair over there drinking a sweet tea. Watching the show. Watching all the hypocrites and all the heathens dance around. He looks over at him and says, "Hey! Maybe you could yell a little bit louder. Maybe he's asleep right now. Maybe your God, if you just talked a little bit louder." You read the text, he's saying that stuff. You got to love it. So they get a little bit louder. They get a little bit more crazy. They begin to dance and they begin to shake and then they begin to cut themselves. And Elijah's literally in the Hebrew, he says, "Hey, maybe your God's gone to the restroom. Maybe he's just a little busy. If you just keep doing that a little bit more, maybe he'll come." That's why they loved him so much. You know what I'm talking about? And they begin to cut themselves and dance around. See, they believed that they could provoke their gods to action. Elijah steps up to that altar, prays a simple prayer, puts his head between his knees, kneels down, prays a simple prayer. Boom, fire falls from heaven. See, it wasn't about all that. All that craziness, all that stuff where we try to work it up. See, here's why. This is what you got to know. You got to know this. As a believer, we don't pray like pagans because we can. We don't pray like pagans. We don't pray like the heathen because we've been given some good news by Jesus. And the good news is that Jesus has done the work and given us direct access to God. Jesus has brought the kingdom near. I don't have to dance around like I'm some crazy idiot, cutting myself and acting a fool all the time. I don't have to do any of that. Jesus has opened up heaven and said, "If you want to come in, come on." You hear what I'm talking about? And he's given us direct access. And the Hebrews writer heard all of that. And he said, "You know what? You can come boldly to the throne of grace. And you can find help for anything you need. Just come on in." So we remember the good news. And we remember that we're talking to the God who sent Jesus to rescue us. So we don't have to persuade him at all. He's already promised to be with you. He's promised never to leave you nor forsake you. He's promised to hear you when you pray. He's promised to give you direct access to his ear all the time. And yes, we pray passionately. And we pray fervently. But we don't have to pray like that. Does that make sense to you? Why? Because we've been in on the good news. And the good news is Jesus paid the price for my access to God. And let's wrap it up with this. In verse number 8, Jesus says this. He says, don't pray like them. Don't pray like the hypocrite. Don't pray like the heathen. For your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. Now, at first glance, you read that and you go, "Well, God already knows. He already knows I got this sickness in my body. He already knows I got this problem going on at work. He already knows that I got this situation I got to work out in the family. He already knows that I got this idea that I want to work out and get done. He already knows." And this is where my mind goes. If God already knows, why do I have to ask? Anybody else think that? If God already knows, why do I have to ask? Here's real simple. God wants to be invited into your situation. Here's something you got to understand about God. For the most part, almost across the board, God respects you and he respects boundaries. And if you don't ask him for help, He understands it's because you don't want him to help. He doesn't usually pry into your business. God respects your kingdom. See, that's like your life. We'll do some teaching on this in the near future. Your kingdom is like your life. Your kingdom involves all your relationships and all the influence and all the gifts and abilities God's given you. Those are things that you steward. Those are things that you rule over. All the resources, the stuff, the money, the finances, the job, the business, whatever it might be. Those are all your kingdom. Now, the best thing that you can do with your kingdom is to bring it underneath God's kingdom and His leadership and His kingship and let Him help you with the deciding and the management of your kingdom. That's the best thing you can do. But God's going to respect the boundaries of your kingdom. Now, you know how this works. All of you folks with grown kids, I'm back on the kids again, okay? It's kind of like having grown kids. You know they're going through something. You can hear it in their voice. You can read them like a book. You just know them. And not only that, the Holy Spirit lets you know stuff at times. You know they're going through something. But mom and daddy, when they get grown, what happens if you pry into their business? What do they do? You tell me. Right? And your kids might be great. But ours, if you pry into their business, guess what they're going to do? Mama? Daddy? What do they almost always do when you pry into their business? They almost always push back, don't they? Anybody have that testimony? Am I by myself? Well, you like that too, so let's blame it on all the kids. I'm the new pastor in town. But if I just start showing up and getting into all your business, who's this guy think he is? You know, don't come prying into my business. People nosy, you know. And I don't want nobody prying into my. You notice I don't put nothing on Facebook. You ain't gonna send no pictures of me on Facebook. Not like what people do. You know, I'm eating vanilla ice cream at Sonic today. It tastes good. Okay. You ain't gonna see none of that from me. I don't do that. Ain't gonna be not many, unless she puts something on there. But we do that very rarely because I don't really like people in my business. I done found they monkey around too much. You know what I'm talking about? And really, my life's so busy, I ain't got time for all that, and I ain't got time to know what you're doing because I'm doing what I'm doing. I don't need to know what you're doing because I'm doing what I'm doing. You understand? If people pry in our business, we resist. Our kids resist. That's kind of human. So God says, I'm not going to pry, but I'll show up if you invite me. So this idea, God already knows, so why do I need to pray? Because He wants to be invited in, just like your kids. And you know what, mamas and dads, if they invite us into it, say, you know what, I need to talk to you about this. And that's the joy of a parent's heart, honestly. I'll talk to you about it. And you know what, if it's in my means, I'll even help you with it. And that's God. That's the way God is. It's about you involving God and inviting God into those needs that you have. Invite God into it. Invite Him into your life, for sure. Invite Him into your situation, your trouble, your problems, your successes. Invite Him into the whole thing. And beloved, that's exactly why Jesus came. To bring God near to us so that we could come near to God and invite Him into all of our life. All right. I'm pretty much done. So we don't pray like a hypocrite. We don't pray like a heathen. That's pretty point blank, isn't it? Jesus is point blank about these things. But we do invite God in to whatever we have, whatever's going on. Invite Him in. He's waiting on that phone call, you know. Jeremiah 33:3 says this, "Call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you don't even know about." But guess what? If you don't call, Jesus said it like this, if you don't ask, what? You ain't going to get. That's exactly how we say it in Mississippi, ain't it? If you don't ask, you will not receive. Why? God respects you so much. He respects you so much that He will leave you be. But He loves you so much that He can't wait to get involved. Does that make sense to you? Jesus, thank you for teaching us all this. We'd done run off a cliff without all this. Ustag and stumbled through all this praying and devotion stuff. We stumble a lot in it. We struggle. Jesus, I pray that in the next many weeks as we talk about prayer, that you just help us with that stumbling and help us walk a little bit better. Help us walk a little bit better because we're learning to walk with you. Jesus, thank you for the revelation. Thank you for the insight. Thank you for the teaching. Now, Holy Spirit, strengthen us to walk it out. Train us, Lord. Take away all the fear. We're not talking just to the Almighty. We're talking to our Father. Help us with that. And Lord, we invite you in. We just open up the doors of our heart, those various avenues of our life. We open those up to you. And we say, come on in, help us.